Maybe you don't need the review, but I sure do. So I'm going to very briefly tie up a few strings here that I trust might be helpful to us. And I do know that we have new listeners practically every day, and may it be helpful for them also. Now, in the first chapter of this very wonderful little book, we saw the perplexity of the prophet. He looked about him in his own nation, and he saw that there was violence, the law was broken, and it looked like God was not doing anything about it. In fact, it looked as if God had retired from the scene and had shut his eyes to everything. And then God answered this man Habakkuk, the man that had a question mark for a brain. And he said to him, he said, "You think I'm not doing anything? You have a capital Y for a brain, and that is your question? And you are wondering why I permit evil?" Well, God says, I have an answer to that. The answer to that is the first coming of Christ. I'll provide a cross, and I intend to provide man a way out of his sin. And that's the reason I permit evil. That's the reason he permits it today, friends, because he wants men that want to turn from it. And any time in your heart you're sick of sin, you can turn to Christ and be saved. And the problem with man is never up in his head. Jonah's really not your problem if you're not a Christian. And your problem is not really about the inspiration of Scripture. Your problem is the Bible condemns the life you're living and you don't like it. But any time you're willing to turn to the Lord Jesus, he'll save you. God has an answer for your why question. Now, the second is, why does not God judge the wicked? Because God gave him an answer. And God says to him, now, I want you to know about it, that I'm preparing to do something about this. There's a nation down on the Euphrates River, and I'm preparing them to come and take my people into captivity. And they will spend 70 years there, and I intend to judge my people. They're not getting by with sin. And God does judge the wicked. Now, today, I confess, I think they're getting by with it. Looks that way. But the second coming of Christ is going to be the answer to that, because it will be then the crown. He came the first time to wear a crown of thorns and die on a cross. The next time he comes with a crown of glory and a scepter in his hand to rule down here on this earth. And so that was the big problem that was before this man. And if you think the first answer was sufficient, you're wrong. It raised a bigger question that this man had. And the bigger question was just simply this: well, why are you permitting us to suffer at the hands of a nation that's more wicked than we are? Well, the Chaldeans are more wicked. They should be judged, not us. Now, let me just pick that up back at verse 12 here. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And, Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. God says, sure, that's right, but I move in a mysterious way, my wonders to perform, and I move slowly, but I move justly, I move righteously, and I intend to work this out, and I'll work it out according to my own plan and purpose. And now the question is, why must this happen to us? Why are we going to be judged now and not them? And God's answer is, I will judge them in time. In verse 13 of chapter 1, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Why lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that's more righteous than he? In other words, he's saying, we're better than they are, and why in the world are you going to use them to judge us? And so he changes his tune here, as you can see. And that was the same problem that Isaiah had. You remember, God said to Isaiah, I'm going to use the Assyrian to take the northern kingdom. I will also use the Assyrian to scare the daylights out of you folk in the southern kingdom. And they are really going to trouble you. They'll surround Jerusalem. And God says, the Assyrian, O Assyrian, rod of mine anger, I'll use you just like a rod. But God says, when I'm through with you, I'll judge you because of your evil. He did that. Now, he's going to do the same thing with the Babylonians. He makes it very clear that he intends to judge them. Now, having given that answer to him, and it's definite and specific, therefore, God is saying to Habakkuk, and I believe, friends, that he's saying it to you and me today, it's not for you to question God. What right, friends, have you to question your Maker today? What right is a little man to turn his head up toward heaven and look in the face of heaven and say, why do you do this? Well, may I say to you, to begin with, it's none of your business. It's God's business. This is his universe. He's running it to please himself. We're to believe God. I can remember as a little boy, my dad would get me up at night and wake me up and take me up in his arms, and I'd begin to cry. And I'd say, where are you going? He said, I'm going to take you down to the storm cellar. Well, it was dark down there, and it was damp down there, and it was not really a very comfortable place to be. But you see, tornadoes were in the area, and my dad took me down there. He never answered me at all. He just took up a little crying boy and took him down there and put him on a pallet. And you know, I learned to believe my dad. And I knew of a morning, or during the night, when he picked me up and he carried me down there, put me down. The day came when I never whimpered. I just trusted him. Now, my dad died and I was 14. I've had a heavenly father for many years since then. And there are many times that he does things that he doesn't explain to me. He took my first child, and I had a question mark for that. And you want to know something? I still have a question mark. But I do know this. He's got the answer, and someday he's going to give me that answer.